So good to see all of you here. Are you excited to be the house of God? Yeah. So maybe can we, before we start, can you just turn to your neighbor and just say that, so good to see you. And turn to your next neighbor and say that God is going to speak to you today. So good. Right, so church, I don't know how has your week been, right? Or maybe you have been through some happy things, you know, it was a great week, you know, or we had a rough week, right? But you know, God is still good. Amen. God is still good. And today I have the privilege and the honor to talk about worship. We're going to talk about worship. Can I have my slides on? Today we have some slides. I'm inspired to do some slides, so therefore we have slides today. All right, so I'll be talking about worship today. And you've probably heard about 3,281 messages about worship in your life. And I'm not here to give you another well-crafted, perfect sermon, which I cannot do that. But I'm here that I pray that God will give you a fresh new revelation of who God is and what worship is to you. Amen. So before we go on into the word, can we all just pray? Let us just close our eyes and just pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the privilege. We thank you for the honor that we can call you Father. We thank you for the honor. We thank you for the privilege to be able to worship you, Father. And Father, I just commit the rest of this whole time, Father, into your loving hands. And I just pray that for everyone here, Jesus, that even right now you are already working. Even right now, Holy Spirit, that you are already ministering to hearts. And even right now, that you are already working in our midst. And Father, I just pray for myself that every word that comes from my mouth will not be from myself, but from you, God. And I just pray that today will be a marking day for some people. I just pray that today will be a day of breakthrough for people. I just pray that today will be an awakening for everyone here. Father, restore the purity of worship in our church. Restore the purity of worship in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. So as you can see on the screen, if I can entitle my message today, it will be Returning to the Heart of Worship. Can we all say it together? Returning to the Heart of Worship. Yeah. And church, I believe that we are in the Kairos moment. Amen. I believe that with all my heart that God is doing something in our church. I believe in all my heart that God is doing something in this city, in our nation, in this generation. And I really believe that God is stirring our hearts and just inviting us back to the heart of worship. And I really pray that today the word not only going to encourage you, but it will stir up something within your spirits. That you know that God is inviting you to go back to the purity, the simplest form of worship. Amen. So when we talk about worship, right, church? When we talk about worship, let's just break it down a little bit, shall we? All right, so I'm going to ask you some questions. You're going to engage with me, okay? So when we talk about worship, a lot of times we think about is that songs. Right? It's about songs. And like, can we just take a moment and ask, like, why do we actually sing songs? Why do we actually worship? Is it just a 30-minute slot, you know, in church where you can just, oh, it's okay, you know, it's not the word yet, we can be late, or because, you know, the pastors ask us to sing, you know, or, you know, everyone is singing, or like, because I put in this application form in all my forms that saying that I'm a Christian, therefore I will sing. Is that so? Maybe. Maybe not. Right? So today we're going to talk about, we're going to see what worship is. Amen. Can I have the next slide? Worship. We are created to worship. Amen. We are created to worship. And in Isaiah 43 verse 7, it says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." Let's look at another verse from Isaiah again, 43 verse 21. It says, "The people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise." You know, a few years ago, I was invited to speak at this youth service about worship. And, you know, being myself, I was very excited. You know, worship is something that really close to my heart. I started serving in the worship team when I was 12. You know, first when I was 13, I started playing a band with in church. You know, that's where I grew. That's where God met me. That's where I had my first encounters. That's where I was like, God, this is where this is what I'm made for. This is what I'm made for. And so when I received that invitation, I was very excited, but I'm also very nervous because I felt like worship is such a topic. It's such a holy topic. You know, that I'll be like, God, who am I to talk about such a holy, holy topic? And then I was just asking the Lord for, God, can you just give me one word that I can just hold on to? And then I will never forget this. The Holy Spirit was just like, Ivy, isn't worship just your life? Isn't worship is just your relationship with me? You know, worship is just your life. It's just simple as that. And you're just going to talk to my people about my relationship with you and your life. And that simple revelation changed my perspective of what worship is. You know, church, can I just say that, you know, when we talk about worship, you know, we know that it's biblical to worship God. Amen. As believers, as sons and daughters, it is a privilege, you know, that it is biblical that we worship God. But can I just suggest something? You know, like God is not like a high up above God that, you know, like you need to worship me or else you die. Okay, that's not found in the Bible, okay? But, you know, God is not that kind of God, right? Even you worship today or not, even you praise Him or not, that doesn't change the fact that He is good, amen? That does not change the fact that He's still God. No, God doesn't need our praise to for Him to be God. God doesn't need that. But why does the Bible say that we need to worship? Can I suggest something, church, that not so much for God, that I want to suggest that it's so much more that we human beings, we need to worship because we need it. Because we are often very forgetful, right? We are very forgetful. You know, we went through, you know, a rough season and then we've seen the miraculous and the faithfulness of God, you know. And then when something happens, we complain. So when something happens, you're like, why God? Why are you doing this to me? We forgot the goodness of God. We forgot what God did in the past. Can I suggest that why we need to worship is that so that we can remind ourselves the goodness of God. That even if I can't see the goodness of God, I will choose to praise Him. I will choose to say that, God, you are so good. Even when I don't see it, God, I choose to praise you when I think it's impossible. God is a very, very good God. Amen. Worship is a response of our affection to God. Can you turn to your neighbor and say that God loves your worship? God loves your worship, church. God so adores your worship. And you know, when we talk about worship, we often think about worship songs, right? Which is true. You know, like when we worship, you know, we sing a bunch of songs just now, you know, we worship Him. And why? Have you ever thought of why that people actually write songs to worship Him? You know, these people are not just like, oh, I'm very free, you know, I have nothing to do, and therefore I just write songs. Maybe some of them do that, like, okay? But, you know, a lot of songwriters, right, believers or not believers, songwritings, why do they write songs? It's based on an experience, right? Based on an experience or a certain event that they have experienced with this person or, a memory, and then they wanted to express it. They wanted to process it. And that becomes an invitation for other people. Whenever they listen to it, whenever they sing it, it becomes an invitation into their experience. So when we sing, or like, worthy is your name, when we sing that God is so good, you know, it's when all these songwriters had an encounter with God. They had a revelation of who God is. Right? They had a revelation and an encounter with the living God. You know, maybe it's from their daily living scriptures, reading, or even with just maybe like an encounter. I don't know. But they encountered the person of Jesus. And when they had an encounter, they want to express it. And therefore, that's the birth of all these songs and birth of praising Jesus. A worship song is not a worship song if it's not biblical. A worship song is not a worship song if it does not reflect the character of God. A worship song is not a worship song if it doesn't point people to the person of Jesus. Amen. And I believe that every song is an invitation for us to encounter the living person of Jesus. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, can I have the verse? Yeah. It says that, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. Church, does that remind you of any of the worship songs? You are worthy of it all, right? And can I just encourage you, if today you're finding it a little hard to engage in worship, maybe you can try asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, can you highlight what is it in this song that you're trying to speak to me? Can you highlight what it is, you know, what scriptures from the Bible that can you point me to engage with you through this song? And I pray and I pray and I pray that, you know, your intimacy with Jesus, your time alone with Jesus is not boring. And I pray that every day is an opportunity to experience Him in an entire new level. Amen. Worship is a revelation of who He is. Right, church, you are a bit quiet today. So I'm going to throw you some questions, okay? Okay. So who here, I know that a lot of this question might be a bit of a, chaotic, but I'm going to throw it anyway. Who here supports a football club? Now there it is. Now I can feel that there are people in this church. All right, who supports Manchester United? Who supports Manchester City? Who supports Arsenal? Who supports Liverpool? All right, church. Jesus, we pray for our unity in our church and not any, you know, discrimination against team. But okay, I'm kidding. But you know why? Why? I don't know much about football, okay? I really don't. But I live with a dad who loves football. All right, he supports Liverpool, so therefore I also support Liverpool. If not, I cannot go home. Just kidding. But I live with a dad that supports Liverpool, and he really is. One of the things that my dad loves is Liverpool. And if you have no conversation with him, start a conversation with him in Liverpool, then you'll never end that conversation. All right, and you know, I already told you that I have not much clue about what football is. But one thing I really know about all these people who support football is that they are really passionate. Amen. They are really passionate people. You know, when there's a football season, you go to a mama, what do you see? You see cheering, you see, you know, a lot of screams and shouts, you know, when their team scores, and then they will cheer for all and everything, right? And that's the passion. And then I wonder, when we come in to the church, when we say that we love Jesus and we're passionate for Jesus, do we do the same thing? When there's worship going on, do we just stand there like we are singing Nagaraku? Or are we just passionate worshiping Jesus? And, you know, screaming and shouting because He is worthy, because He is the King of all kings. You know, I'm not here to condemn anyone because condemnation is not from Jesus. I'm just throwing out some scenarios for you to think about. Worship is an honor. Worship is an honor. Turn to your neighbor and say that worship is an honor. Worship is such an honor. Worship is a privilege. You know, when we sing about this song, All Hail King Jesus, you know the song? Yeah, we sing about this song, All Hail King Jesus. You know, we sing about that He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And why do we sing that? Because He is the King of all kings. He is the Lord of all lords, right? We don't sing something that's not true. We sing only because it's true, right? And a lot of times, I think that Christians, we have forgotten about that. We are serving the living King. We are serving the living King. And a lot of times, you know, we come into church, we go into this routine, and we forgot that all of this is for King Jesus. And I want you to just imagine a scenario with me, all right? So let's say you are invited to this event. And this event, and this the VIP for this event is going to be the Agong of Malaysia, the King of Malaysia, right? And all of a sudden, I don't know about you, but if I were to, you know, get invited to this event and asked to serve, I'll be like, oh man, do I look okay? Do I, you know, come in short? I won't come in shorts or t-shirt, you know, sleepers, you know, I'll make sure I'll be nice. No, I won't be like, you know, goyang kaki or like, you know, like, I'll present myself nicely, right? Because I'm in the presence of a king. Right? And a lot of times we come into the church, we forgot that we serve the King of all kings. We forgot that we serve the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. And a lot of times that when we're asked to serve in church, we'd be like, oh, cannot lie, I think I'm a bit busy lah. I cannot lie, this is a bit a jam here, you know, the working hours. I have this and I have that. But forgotten that it is such an honor, it's such a privilege to be able to see, to serve the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords. You know, church, worship is really not something that we come to church and we go through the routine. We go through the same thing week by week. You know, we see that, oh, today the worship leader has, you know, has chosen some of my favorite songs. I sing louder. Or today, oh, I don't know this song. It's a new song, a bit of a, you know, a Gen Z song. Or I don't really relate with that. Yeah, don't want lah. You know, I think the church is backsliding lah. No church. Worship is holy. Worship is so holy. And worship is a weapon. Turn to your neighbor and say that worship is a weapon. Worship is a weapon. And can I just say that worship is not a performance. No, we value, in a worship team, we value excellence. Amen? No, we value excellence. We value, you know, how good the musician is. But that is not the most important thing. Worship is not and never is about the performance. It's not about how good you sing. It's not about how good you play on your instrument. You know, a gifted musician will inspire you. A gifted musician will entertain the crowd, you know, with their skills, with their talents, with, you know, amazing stuff. You know, a gifted musician will put on amazing performance, put out a good show. But an anointed worshiper leads you to an encounter with God. An anointed worshiper not only spend hours on their instrument, but spend hours with Jesus. And it's so important in the church today that we want to not recognize the giftings, but we want to recognize the anointing. Gifting can be taught, but anointing cannot be taught. You need to spend hours with the Lord. You need to build an altar. You need to put a sacrifice on an altar. That is the heart of true worshiper. That is the heart of a true worshiper. You know, church, a few years ago, I was in a ministry school in Bethel Church. And there's this incident that has marked me. I think it will mark me forever. So I'm not sure if you know of this worship leader called Kelly Haliganto. You know, from Bethel Music. She writes songs. She writes a lot of songs. You know, she's a very anointed worship leader, right? Some of the songs that she sings is like Ever Be on My Knees, that song. And what? Alabaster Jar. So basically, she is very... She's one of the worship leaders that really had an impact in my life when I was in the ministry school. And there's this one day, and because I was part of the worship team in the ministry school, and we got the news, we got some insider news that, you know, this worship leader, Kelly, her daughter, Olive, suddenly passed away. And she was only 2 years old. And her first response was to gather the church, gather the school to pray and to worship and to just believing for a miracle, for a resurrection. You know, church, I've been a Christian for all my life, right? I've been a Christian for all my life, and it's the first time that I saw such a thing happening in front of my eyes, that a tragedy happened, and this worship leader calls for worship and intercession to resurrect her baby. And I was like, in my mind, it kind of offends my mind a little bit because I've never heard of such a thing. You know, we always think about, you know, God, you are a God of resurrection. You know, you bring life in death and all of that. You know, we sing. It's so comfortable to sing. But when it comes to real life, it's another story. So that incident actually offended my mind a little bit. And you know, it really, you know, it was like, wow, the God that I'm believing is actually a living God, that He actually can resurrect a dead person. And it's not just in the Bible, like happened that so many thousand years ago, it still can happen today. So, you know, I went to them, they have like day and night, 48 hours or something of prayer and worship. And I was there. I was there for the whole day. And what marked me, church, was that I saw the mom herself, the worship leader herself. You know, the mom who lost her child, her baby, on her knees, worshiping. And she's not like, God, why did you do this? But she's like, God, I worship you. God, I worship you. You are worthy to be praised. And you know, she didn't stay for just like 1 hour, 2 hours. She stayed until like the whole day. And even like 3 a.m., she was there on her knees with her husband and just praising the Lord. And me, and I was there. I was just like witnessing this moment. I was like, God, that is a true worshiper. You know, it's easy to praise God when things are going well. It's easy to say that, God, you're so good when things are going well. But it's everything to say when things are not going your way, you lost your loved one, and you choose to say that, God, you're so good. You're worthy to be praised. And church, that moment, that witnessing that person, you know, like just kneeling down before the Lord and saying that, God, I worship you, has marked me forever. And I told God, like, God, I want to be like her. I want to be like her. And I'm not sure if I can do that. You know, like when you lose your baby, your perhaps your breakthrough, your whatever that is, can you still choose to say that, God, you are so good? Worship is holy. Amen. Worship is holy because God is holy. Worship is holy because God is holy. Can we have the verse from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3? Can we all read it together? 1, 2, 3. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." Can we just read it one more time? And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." Church, and today I just really want to emphasize one thing, is that worship is so holy. And I believe with all my heart that God is awakening something in our church. Amen. I believe with all my heart that God is awakening something. She's inviting us to go into the purest form and the simplicity of the heart of worship. I remember when I was 6 or 7 in Sunday school, you know, there was this missions week that we had. And I remember that, you know, my Sunday school teacher was asking us, like, we're going to sing this song called "Send Me." But I want you to know that if you're not ready, if you don't mean what you sing, don't sing it. And it was such a holy moment for a very young kid. You know, like a bunch of young kids. And I remember that, and that in that moment, I was like, oh my gosh, this is serious. So I really read all the entire lyrics, you know. And I was like standing there with my spectacles. And I was like, okay. And I was like, okay, God, you know, I prepared my heart. And when I sang it, I was like, God, send me to wherever you want me to go. wherever you want me to go, I'm willing to lay it all down. And probably I don't fully understand at that age yet. And I just did it, you know, with a pure heart. And just a few years ago, when I signed up for a mission trip, and the Lord reminded me about this moment that I've completely forgotten. That he was like, Ivy, do you remember when you were like 6, 7 years old and you sang that song in Sunday school? You probably forgot, and I totally forgot about that experience. And he was like, you remember that in that young age you sang that song, Send Me, Lord. Now I'm going to send you. And even though I don't remember what I sang, but because I meant it with all my heart, God remembers our prayers. God remembers our worship. God remembers every word that we sing. And I really feel like a lot of times we sing for the sake of singing. We sing and we don't mean what we sing. We sing like, God, purify my heart. And the next week, you know, a lot of things happen. You know, like, and then you go to the pastor and say, that, Pastor, I don't know what's happening. La. You know, it's a lot of setbacks and all that. But you forgot that last week you sang purify my heart. You know, it's time to take ownership of what we sang. It's time to take ownership of what we sing. If we sing that, God, you are holy, do we actually mean that, God, you are holy? If we sing that, God, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, do we actually really mean that, God, I'm coming back to the heart of worship? The church has watered down the standard of holiness in our worship. And I really believe that it starts with us to say that, God, I repent of the times that we think that worship is just a song. I repent for the times that we think that worship is just anything, you know, when I don't mean it. Can we just come back and say, God, we're sorry that we make this an agenda and we want to mean what we sing? Church, can I challenge you today that the next time when you sing another song, take a good look of the lyrics. And if you don't mean it, it's okay. God is not forcing you to sing. But when you mean it, sing it from your heart. Because God loves and adores your worship. Worship is a sacrifice. Turn to your neighbor and say that worship is a sacrifice. Worship, it is a sacrifice. No, in Genesis 22, we want to look a bit of the story of Abraham. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, it says that, then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. All right, can we just go back a little bit? I know that probably we are very familiar with the story of Abraham, but let's go back a little bit for context. Let's go to Genesis chapter 15. Right? Genesis chapter 15, verse 2, where God made a covenant with Abraham. Right? It says that, but Abraham said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Next slide. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars. If indeed you can count them, then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Next one, please. Abraham believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. So from chapter 15, we can see that God made a covenant with Abraham, right? Right? And the fact that Isaac was born, Isaac is a promise being fulfilled, right? No, Isaac was Abraham's promise. He was a promise being fulfilled. He was the miracle. He was his destiny. He was his calling. And can we just look back to Genesis 22 again, right? From verse 3 onwards. From verse 3, it says that early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. Church, can you read with me just the first four words? Early the next morning. Can we say it one more time? Early the next morning. I don't know about you. When I first read this, right, I was like, no way. You know, like, if I'm Abraham, like, God told me that, no, that I will be sacrificing my son, my miracle, my breakthrough, my destiny, my calling. I'll be like, hey, God, excuse me, Like, don't you remember that we had a deal? Like, we had a deal, you know, like, you someone asked me to look up to the sky, see all the stars and everything. And then now you tell me that to sacrifice my son. Are you crazy? Or do you need our agreement? Or do you not remember what's happening? I don't know about you, but what did Abraham did? What did he do? Early the next morning, he got up and loaded his donkey and just went. I don't know about you, church, but where I read that, it speaks so much of this faithfulness and the surrender of Abraham. Even though Isaac was his miracle, was his fulfillment, but yet when God asked him to sacrifice it on the altar, he willingly just did that. Can I invite a worship team? You know, a few years ago, I was still in the States. After I did my degree, I did my internship, and I was working as a full-time music therapist in Los Angeles in the U.S., and I was really happy, you know, this was something that, you know, God has promised me, you know, that this was something that I love to do. And, you know, that came a day where, you know, that my boss actually gave me an opportunity to, you know, that he wanted to sponsor my visa, my working visa. So that working visa was a miracle. You know, it's something that is never going to happen. Because a lot of times, you know, my friends would be like, Ivy, no, like, there's no way you're going to get this working visa. There's no way. I've never heard of any Malaysians got this working visa with this profession, especially when you just have a bachelor's degree. So if you have a master's or PhD, you have a better chances because you need to go through, like, lottery and all of that. So I was like, you know what? If God really wants me to get it, He will give me. Right? I have no doubt in that. So, long story short, you know, God really granted that visa for me. It's unheard of, you know, and I was really happy. And that time, you know, I was even, you know, I experienced a breakthrough and a miracle where, you know, by the program that I was working for that was going to be shut down by the government of California. But God gave me a vision. God gave a vision to ask me to do a documentary to showcase the stories of the patients and families that I was working with, you know, to prove that, you know, it's worth to help these families. So long story short, that came true. I did that. And, you know, instead of the program shutting down, it expanded to the whole state of California. And with that, I was like, wow, God, this is so amazing. You know, I'm living my promised land. And there's one day that the Lord was like, Ivy, can you take a trip to Reading, where Bethel Church is? So I was like, okay, sure. You know, I've never been there. You know, I was like, okay, this is amazing. You know, let's go. So I went there and I don't know anyone. I don't know anyone. And I was like, before my trip, I told God, I was like, God surprised me. So God surprised me, and you know, Reading is a very white Ang Mo town, right, with very little Asians. So in the first session, in the church service, you know, I sat beside an Asian auntie, which is very rare already. And in that Asian auntie, he was like, you know, like the newcomers, like, oh, newcomers, welcome. And then she was like, where are you from? I was like, oh, I'm from Malaysia. She was like, me too. I was like, what? And then she was like, which part of Malaysia are you from? I was like, Petaling Jaya. She was like, me too. I was like, no way. And then she was like, you know, come and, you know, come over for dinner at my place tomorrow. I was like, okay, sure. You know, I don't know anyone, ma, right? So I was like, okay, come. And then, so I went and appeared. And then when I first opened the door, lo and behold, I saw a group of Malaysian students, all the ministry students there. And they were hosting the Malaysian students' dinner there. And I got to experience, I got to hear their testimonies and all of that, of how, you know, God called them to go to the ministry school and all of that. And they were like, Ivy, I really feel that it's no coincidence that you are here. And I feel like you're going to do the ministry school. I was like, no way. I just got my visa, man. You know, I experienced my miracle. I just got that miracle and breakthrough. And then the next day, I told God, I was like, God, if you really want me to go, tell me clearly and I'll go. So during the service, you know, the presence of God was so powerful. And I was just crying, and all my pants were just wet from my tears, not my pee, okay? And I was like, wow. And the Holy Spirit just all of a sudden, like, God, like, Ivy, are you willing to give up your work visa and come to Bethel to do this ministry school? And with all that, and in all of that glory and holiness, I said that, God, I will. And then, you know, I'm very close with my parents. You know, I have very amazing parents, and I'm very close to them. And when I broke this news to them, they were like, seriously? Like, I think, you know, any Asian parents, any parents would be thinking like, okay, maybe that's great that you want to do this, but why not? Why now? Why not, you know, like, you know, when your visa expires 3 more years later or why? But why now? And I remember, you know, my parents didn't really agree to my decision. And my mom didn't talk to me for 3 weeks. I had her consent to share about this, don't worry. And I was very, I'm very close to my mom. So 3 weeks of not talking to her is something, okay? It's really something. And then she was like, girl, why do you want to go now? Like, you could have just, you know, go like 3 years later, or like when you want to renew your visa, you can just do that. And then I asked the Holy Spirit, like, God, please help me. Like, what should I do? What should I say? And then I told my mom, you know, mom, like, because my relationship with you is so close, right? Like, if one day, if you ask me to give you, you know, pour a glass of water to you, you know, I will just drop everything and just, like, give you that water, right? Because you're my priority. I love you. And in the same manner today, if God, Jesus, is my priority, is my all in all, if he asked me to lay everything down, to go, and I'll do that right away. I'll do that right away. Because God is my priority. Jesus is my priority. And I will lay everything down willingly on the altar as a sacrifice. And today, I'm not sure what your Isaac is. I'm not sure that, you know, like, Isaac looks very different from person to person. It could be your family. It could be your career. It could be your breakthrough. It could be your miracle. It could be your destiny. It could be your calling. Whatever that is, which is great. I'm sure it's really good. But Jesus is always going to be our utmost number one priority. And church, today, He's inviting you to offer to lay down your Isaac. And are we willing to do that? As a church, are we willing to say that, God, I'm willing to come back and put you as my priority. I'm willing to come back to put you back in my number one. I'm willing to come back to lay every down at the feet of Jesus, because this life is for you and only you. The worship team is going to lead us into this song called Move My Heart. And I pray that as we sing, we don't only just sing because everyone is singing. I want to encourage you to just take a look in these lyrics and sing as a response and a dedication to God. Saying that, God, I want to move your heart. God, I want to do everything that I can to move your heart. Can we do that? Let's sing, let's worship Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, my precious Lord, none on the earth nor heavens above that I found more beautiful. You are my treasure, my great reward. I just want to move your heart. It's all I want to do. I just want to stand in awe and pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you, all to you.
Sing Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, my offering, all my ambitions, my hopes, my dreams. Here's my life, Lord. A sacrifice, oh, just to know you. Oh, I just wanna move your heart. It's all I wanna do. I just wanna stand in awe and pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all. Here's every melody. Just tell me what moves you. Just tell me what moves you. Is it a fragrance? Then I'll pour my oil out. Is it a life laid down? Then here I give my vows. Is it a song I sing? Here's melody, just tell me what moves you. Tell me what moves you. And I just wanna move your heart. It's all I wanna do. I just wanna stand. pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you, all to you. I just wanna move your heart, get caught within your gaze,
right here
in your presence, Lord. It's where I wanna stay, well, just to dwell in your house. Waste my hours and my days on you, all on you. Is it a fragrance? And is it a fragrance? And I pour my oil out. Is it a life laid down? Then here I give my vows. Is it a song I sing? Then here's every melody. Just tell me what moves you, Jesus. Tell me what moves, is it? 'Cause is it a fragrance? Then I'll pour my oil out. Is it a life laid down? Then here I give my vows. Is it a song I sing? And here's every melody. Just tell me what moves you. Tell me what moves. Is it a fragrance? And is it a fragrance? Then I'll pour my oil out. Is it a life laid down? Then here I give my vows. Is it a song I sing? Here's every melody. Just tell me what moves you. Just tell me what moves you. And I just wanna move your.
Can we sing it to Jesus today?
Sure, I wanna do.
Every voice lift it up. He's worthy of our worship.
Pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you. All to you.
I just wanna move
your.
Get caught within your gaze.
Get caught within your gaze.
Right
here in your presence.
It's where I wanna stay.
It's where I wanna stay. Oh, just to dwell in your house. Waste my hours and my days on you. All on you.
Is it a fragrance?
Is it a fragrance?
Come on, every heart, just pour it out to Jesus.
And I pour my oil out.
Church, why do you lift your voice? Even if you don't know this song, I want you to begin to pour your heart out to Jesus.
Is it a song that I see? And here's every melody. Just tell me what moves you.
Tell us what moves you, Jesus.
Tell me what moves you.
Is it a fragrance?
Is it a fragrance? Then I'll pour my oil out. Is it a life laid down? Then here I give my vows. Is it a song that I sing? Then here's every melody. Just tell me what moves you. Just tell me what moves you. I just wanna move your heart. It's all I wanna do. I just wanna stand in awe and pour my love on you, no matter how much the cost. I freely give it all to you.
Jesus, we come before you this evening. Our hearts laid down before you, Jesus. And God, we want to offer you everything that we are, Lord. Not holding back anything, Jesus.
Even as worship is a sacrifice, God, we bring our oil today as Calvary Community Church. And we lay down our lives before you, Jesus. Because there is no one more worthy than you, Lord. There is no one that deserves more honor and worship. You know, church, in your own words, I want you to lift your voice right now. Can you do that? And begin to worship the Lord. If you want to sing in the Spirit, you sing in the Spirit. If you want to tell Him, Jesus, we worship You, we honor You. If you want to use your own words, use your own words. Come on, church. Every voice lifted up to Jesus. Come on, every voice lifted up to the King of Kings. Jesus, we honor You, Lord. We honor You, God, in this place. Lord, right now as a church, we come before You and we say we're sorry, God. We're sorry for just singing a song. We're sorry for just doing it, God, out of routine. But today we come back to You. We come back to the heart of worship, God. We just don't want to sing or play or be here lifting up our hands just because we have to, God. But we're here because we love You. We are here because You are worthy. And we are here because there is a generation out there that needs Jesus. And that's why we are here, God. And as Calvary Community Church, Jesus, we offer our lives as a sacrifice to You once again. Can we just begin to build an altar before the Lord and say, God, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. I'm coming back to Your heart, Jesus. Come on, all across this place, from the front to the back. Every heart lifted up to Jesus. We love You, Father. We love You, we love You, we love You, we love You.
You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from You are all things, and to You are all things. You deserve the glory.
You can go ahead and prepare your communion.
You're worthy of it all.
Come on, even just worship Jesus.
You're worthy of it all.
We give You all our worship, Jesus.
For from You are all things, and to You are all things. You deserve the glory.
You're worthy, Jesus. You are worthy of it all.
You are worthy of it all. For from You are.
Bow
before Your throne, and all the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God. And
sing all the saints
and all the saints and
it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. My King, you are worthy. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. Of the glory, you sing, you are worthy, church. Come on,
you are worthy of it all.
Lift your voice, church.
You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all.
Let your glory be released.
You're worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Father, we come before you this evening. And even as we are about to partake the cup and the bread, Jesus, as we partake today, we ask you one thing, Lord. Would you bring us back to the heart of worship? Would you bring us back to the heart of worship? Turn our eyes and our hearts. Turn us back to you, Jesus, again. Restore the fear of the Lord. Restore the fear of the Lord for worship in Calvary Community Church, God. Let this communion be an honor to you and a blessing to us, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We just honor your presence, God. We honor your presence. I sense such a fear of the Lord in this place. Can we just begin to honor his presence right now, wherever we are standing? You're so holy, Jesus. You're so holy, God.
and praise. You're the Lamb upon the throne.
With the bread in our hands, on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, he broke it in his hand. This is my body which was broken for you. As often as you partake this bread, do this in remembrance of me until I return. Today, Jesus, we come before you and just to partake of this bread. Let there be healing in our bodies. Let our hearts and our eyes be turned back to you, Jesus. As a family, Lord, let our hearts be united. And Lord, let us see a move of the Holy Spirit in our church, in our families, in our city, in our nation, God. Lord, if there's any sickness in this place, we release the healing power of Jesus right now. And as we partake this bread, let this be a healing bread to us, God. As a family, let's partake the bread together.
For you are glorious and worthy to be praised,
on the Lamb upon the throne.
And to you we lift our voice in praise.
You're the Lamb.
In the same manner, Jesus took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Now, as often as you partake this cup, do this in remembrance of me until I return. Lord, even as you partake this cup, God, let there be freedom, let there be deliverance in Jesus' name. Let there be breakthrough in Jesus' name. Lord, in your glory, God, in your presence, there is freedom and liberty. There is breakthrough. Some of you have been believing, God, for breakthroughs. Today is your day of miracle. I want you to begin to receive that even as you partake of this cup. And Jesus, we pray, God, that let there be deliverance in this place. We come against depression. God, we come against, God, anxiety and fear in Jesus' name. We declare it doesn't belong to the church of God. It doesn't belong to your children. We command it to leave right now in Jesus' name. And God, we declare let there be freedom in this place, God. Let your children walk in perfect health and freedom, God. As a family, let's partake of this cup together. Put down your cup and just worship Jesus. Can we sing that chorus again? Come on, just honor him. Just a few moments more. His glory is in this place. Just as you have partook of communion, I want you to begin to receive your miracle right now. wherever you're standing, I want you to say, Lord, I receive whatever breakthrough that you've been praying for, whatever miracle that you need. Is it restoration in your family? Is it salvation of your loved ones? Is it a sickness or pain in your body? Is it deliverance and freedom that you need? I want you to begin to receive. Say, Lord, I receive. I want you to begin to visualize your miracle right now and just begin to receive it. Just begin to take it. Heaven has full of storage for everything that you need, church. Come on, begin to take it. Begin to receive. Begin to receive. Begin to receive your miracle. The presence of God is here. Just begin to receive. Kiarabashana, in your own way, church. Kiarabashurarabashana, Lord, we receive. We receive. We receive your miracle. We receive everything that you have for us. We receive, God. Thank you, Jesus. God, I just stretch my hands towards your people and I release your blessing over them. I declare, let them be the head and not the tail. Let everything that their hand touches prosper and grow. God, we declare that they will all be financially free in Jesus' name. God, we declare blessings will flow into their lives. We declare 3 John chapter 2, my beloved, that you would prosper in all things and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Lord, we release your blessing over your people. Let this week be a week of miracles. Let this week be a week of deliverance. Let this week be a week of salvation. Let this week be a week that is significant, that they will not forget, God. And Lord, we pray for your favor to be upon them, for families to be united, for faithfulness and love and joy to always be upon every person, God, in Calvary Community Church. Lord, we release your blessing, your blessing, your blessing over them, God. Let them have a powerful week ahead. In Jesus' precious name we ask and we pray. And everyone said,